You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
I mean, this church worked enthusiastically. They had many active and energetic volunteers. This church was adamant about sound teaching and keeping the doctrine of faith. This church displayed persistence and perseverance in spreading the gospel. They were doing a lot of good things, but they didn't keep the main thing the main thing. They left their first love. As we cling to the simple.
John describes a church that is alive, in action, full of energy, dedication, and committed volunteers. They stood firmly on sound teaching, guarding the truth and holding tightly to right doctrine. By all outward appearances, they were doing so many things right. But beneath the surface, something essential was missing. Today, Pastor Dion teaches you that it's possible to be busy for God, yet drift away from loving Him deeply. The work can remain, yet your heart can wander. Return to your first love, Jesus Christ. Now let's join Pastor Dion in the book of Revelation chapter 1 with today's edition of The Simple Truth.
They think they're going to see Jesus, you know, with a feathered hair as painted by the 8-year-old Lithuanian girl. Or they think they're going to see the Jesus that's the Moroccan model in the recently starred in the NBC miniseries. You know, they think that's the Jesus they're going to see. If any of those are the Jesus you're expecting to see, you will be just as shocked as John was here. See, John knew Jesus as a faithful preacher, a meek and humble servant. But the Jesus he saw now was very different. In fact, Jesus told John, inform the churches of my current status. See what you're saying? I want you to let them know. See, when Jesus came on that first Christmas, he came as a faithful preacher, a miracle worker, a humble servant, and a suffering Savior. In fact, Paul explained it like this to the church in Philippi. Read it with me. This is Jesus that you guys remember in the Christmas scene. Jesus gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus fulfilled that first mission. Everybody say, first phase. Jesus came and fulfilled that first phase of redemption. Jesus came that first time, he loved us, he forgave us, he cleansed us, he transformed us, he commissioned us, and he empowered us. That's what Jesus did on the first phase. Now Jesus is fulfilling his second phase. He's fulfilling his second phase of redemption. You know what it is? Doing maintenance on us. He's doing maintenance on us. Jesus went from Savior of the body to head of the church. He wants to keep us in good working order. He wants to keep us as faithful Christians. So Jesus came once. He came as a suffering servant. The first phase of redemption was to love us, to save us, to transform us, to fill us and empower us. But right now, Jesus has a second phase of ministry, and that's what John was so shocked to see. He has a different phase right now, and that is to maintain us, to help keep us in working order as faithful Christians. Look at chapter 1, verse 12. Here's what it says. Then I turned, John said, to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass if it refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand upon me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write these things which you've seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand and the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. And the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches. So we'll stop there. Listen, John saw Jesus dressed like a high priest from the Old Testament. He was wearing a white robe and a gold sash. That was a high priest outfit from the Old Testament. And guys, did you know that one of the job descriptions of the Old Testament high priest was to service and maintain the menorah? The menorah, guys, is that 7-branched candlestick that was in the temple. And the high priest, one of their job descriptions was to maintain it. And the Old Testament priest would carry 2 specific tools to do this. Number 1, a pitcher of oil. Number 2, a clipper to trim the wicks. What was his goal? The high priest's goal was to keep the light bright and smokeless. You see, untrimmed wicks tend to be smoky. Have you experienced that? You light a candle, maybe it's, you know, it's got too much fuel, it starts giving off a smoke, a black smoke, dense smoke. And so he needs to keep, that was the whole process and job of this particular high priest when he was working on the menorah, is to keep them burning bright and smokeless. Because everybody loves fire, but everyone hates smoke. Look at your neighbor and say, "I hate smoke." Hate it. Smoke is offensive. Guys, that menorah was a symbol of the church. The church was meant to be a light to the world, a light of truth, a light of salvation, a light of love, a light of Christ-likeness. And here we see Jesus walking among the churches dressed like a high priest doing maintenance. It shouldn't be hard to believe. Listen to what Paul said about Jesus. "I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." He's continuing to do the work. He started something when he saved you. And now he's continuing to maintain that work. He's doing a work in the church. Paul described Jesus' ministry like this to the Ephesians. He said that Jesus gave himself for us. That's past tense. He is sanctifying us. That's present tense. And he's sanctifying us so that he can present us as an unblemished bride. That is future tense. So Jesus is walking and working in the church so we won't be smoky in the end. He's working on us so we won't be smoky. That's what Jesus is doing in the church. So next time someone tells you that they're a Christian, but I'm not really that into church. People tell you that sometimes. Here's what you need to tell them. You should tell them it's a shame that they're not at church, because that's where Jesus is working on us. That's what we see here in the book of Revelation. Jesus is working, walking and working among his church, in the churches, maintaining the Christians. God knows we need maintenance, because we can be pretty smoky. You can call it whatever you want: flaky, mediocre, indifferent, apathetic. See, Jesus wants us to be on fire, not smoldering wicks. So Jesus is here to trim the wicks. He is saying, "No smoky Christians." Say it out loud. No smoky Christians. You see, guys, fire feeds on oxygen. When there isn't enough oxygen underneath the fire, it smolders. Too much fuel and not enough fire causes smoke. And smoke is offensive and toxic. It's even deadly. I mean, its odor and corrosive film of smoke can spoil everything that it saturates. And guys, Jesus doesn't want us to have that kind of testimony. He wants us to be shining lights. He wants us to shine. He doesn't want us to be stinky and greasy and offensive. So here's what Jesus does. He doesn't want us to be like Pigpen up there. He is walking and working in our churches, doing a work. First off, what we see is he's giving us needed gifts. Jesus is in our church, and we saw him there. John saw him giving the church some needed gifts. John said Jesus had gifts for the churches. In his right hand were stars. The actual word in the Old King James is angels. But the real word in the Greek is messengers. And so the idea is it's neither stars nor angels, but messengers. John saw that Jesus was giving messengers to the church. See, Jesus gives each church a gift, a pastor teacher, an under shepherd. And they're not supposed to be celebrities, but servants. Look at your neighbor and say, servants. They serve as Jesus' assistants. That's what pastors do. They direct and protect and correct. They're supposed to love and serve and help. And guys, Jesus is giving them to the church because he wants everyone in his body to grow to the stature and the fullness of Christ-likeness. The Apostle Paul explained it like this to his congregation in Ephesus. Read it with me. Ephesians chapter 4. Out loud. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, teachers. Christ gave those gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger. Pastors are tools in the Savior's hands to help the church burn brightly. Listen up. Jesus, in this new status, in phase 2 of his ministry, is walking through the churches doing maintenance. One of the things that he's doing is he's giving pastors and leaders to our church to help us grow, to help us develop. I'm not the only pastor leader here. We have many leaders within our church that are also ordained by God that Jesus has given us to encourage and stimulate your faith. They teach small groups. They connect with you during the time of the service, before and after. They're here praying with you, giving counsel and comfort. It's also that we can grow to the measure and the fullness of Christ. So Jesus is giving us these particular gifts. Listen up. Jesus is also doing something else. Not only is he giving these gifts, John saw Jesus walking and working in the church, examining and evaluating, giving us a checkup. Everybody say checkup. How many of you like checkups? See, most of us, we won't go to the doctor because we don't want to go to the doctor. We don't want to hear what he has to say. Well, Jesus knows that that's your disposition. That's why he comes to you. He makes house calls. He comes to us. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Here it is. Here's what Jesus is telling John. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Isn't that great, guys? Isn't that awesome? Read the next one. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have, everybody, Now, have you ever gone to the doctor for a yearly routine checkup, feeling great, only to be told after the examination, there's a problem. The doctor then tells you that you have high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, or maybe you have an irregular heartbeat. You look at the doctor kind of puzzled, and you think, but I feel fine. The doctor then asks, have you been feeling a little more fatigued than normal? Well, yeah, but I've been putting in more hours at work. Then he asks, have you been short of breath occasionally? Well, yeah, but I have put on a couple of extra pounds. And then he says, have you been getting headaches more frequently? By this time, you begin to realize that there have been several warning signs that you have been ignoring. This was the church at Ephesus. They thought they were okay, but after closer examination, they found that they were unhealthy. Here's the word, smoky. Everybody said what? They were smoky. Oh my gosh. Here's the diagnosis. They had left their first love. You've seen this happen before. Couples still going to work every day and providing for their home, making the mortgage payment, putting bread on the table, doing the laundry, washing the dishes, keeping the house, maintaining the yard, raising the kids. But the relationship is drifting. Jesus is sounding the alarm. It's kind of like that old Tanya Tucker song. They said your life's in trouble in a magazine I read. When the one that you love is hanging off of their side of the bed. Baby, you're just barely hanging on, honey. But I don't need my palm read to know what lies ahead. I can see you in the arms of another one instead. Jesus is giving that kind of a statement to this church. The church at Ephesus was doing a lot of good things. Things that Jesus applauds. Things that make Jesus proud. I mean, this church worked enthusiastically. They had many active and energetic volunteers. This church was adamant about sound teaching and keeping the doctrine of faith. This church displayed persistence and perseverance in spreading the gospel. They were doing a lot of good things, but they didn't keep the main thing the main thing. They left their first love. And Jesus, like a doctor in the examination room, exposes their condition. Listen, guys, the doctor doesn't give you a bad diagnosis because he's trying to offend you, criticize you, or condemn you. Right? That's not the way you perceive a doctor's diagnosis when he tells you what's wrong. You don't get mad and upset at him. You don't get defensive. Now, you do that when your wife has been telling you something's going on. Something is happening. There's nothing wrong with me. What are you talking about? But the doctor tells you something. Oh, my gosh. And he doesn't do it because he's trying to criticize or condemn you. He gives you a diagnosis because he wants the quality of your life to be better. And that's what Jesus is doing. Now, the doctor, after he gives you the bad news and the diagnosis, he writes you a prescription that if you have to, you will borrow money to fill. Right? I mean, I got to get better. You will take it as directed. I mean, at whatever time you have to take it, you'll take it. You conscientiously take the doctor's advice. You modify your diet. You start exercising. There you are at the Pewaukee Wellness Center, working out feverishly, sweating profusely. And after that, you hit Mickey D's. But listen, not for your regular biggie size number 5. No, not anymore. But for one of those rabbit meals, a salad. Listen, Jesus gave the church at Ephesus a prescription for their unhealthy condition. But don't worry, it was legible. You know, sometimes you get one of those things, what on earth is that? It's not like the hospital where the doctors had went on strike and no one knew why until the pharmacist showed up to read the picket signs. Then everybody could understand why. No. Jesus' prescription is in clear, legible print. There it is, verse 5. Let's read it. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Jesus pleads with them to remember, repent, and return. Say those three words. Remember, repent, and return. He's saying, hey, listen, I want you to take a trip down memory lane. If you're not more in love with Jesus today than when you were when you first met him, you need to repent. Say it out loud, you need to what? Now, the word repent means to turn around. You need to turn around. Turn away from the distractions that are drawing you away. The lusts, the ambitions, the relationships, the hobbies, the vices. You know what he's saying right here? Get back. Get back. Get back to where you once belonged. Look at your neighbor and say, get back, JoJo. Just look at him and say, get back, JoJo. Gotta get back. Because God allows U-turns. Hey, listen. It's not hard to drift. Sylvie and I enjoy going to the beach on vacation. Occasionally, you know, I get out on the board and do a little bit of body surfing and just enjoy myself in the water. But, you know, when the waves aren't crashing in, tide is kind of low, I just lay on the board, just float. Underneath the sun, it's easy to just take a little snooze. And the wake-up call is when you wake up and you don't know where you are. Because those of you that have been to the beach know that it all looks the same. And if it wasn't for the lifeguard shacks that had a number on them, and you look at it and it says 13, I was at 8. Oh my gosh. It's easy to drift. But the only way you drift is by not paying attention and not staying focused. And so in this lesson, John saw Jesus maintaining the church. And Jesus is coming and saying, hey, listen, I'm here to trim the wicks. I don't want you to be smoky. I'm here to fill you with oil. I'm here to maintain you. But there's something you have to do for me. You have to stay focused. Don't get distracted. Don't drift away and depart. And guys, Jesus is doing this all so that we can grow into his likeness and his grace. Aren't you glad? The awesome thing about Jesus is that he's here to wake us up. Huh? He's here to bump your board. He's here to say, where are you? Thank God for him. He gives us a wake-up call. As we cling to the simple.
You've been listening to The Simple Truth, a ministry of Pastor Dion Cordova at Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel. We're currently studying through the book of Revelation, which starts with a series of letters to some of the churches in Asia Minor. They were all facing obstacles from the world around them, as well as challenges from their own members. What's important to remember from this portion of Revelation is that God knows that his servants are dealing with difficult times, but if they remain faithful to what he's called them to, he'll bless them and give them the strength to endure. When the world around you becomes difficult and the trials are too much to endure on your own, hold on to Jesus, because he's seen it all before and he can carry you safely through to the other side of the valley. Well, would you like to hear more from Pastor Dion? We have more messages from this study, as well as many more studies spanning the entire Bible, available on our church website. Just head over to tmcalvary.com and you'll find a link to our YouTube page, where we post all of our past services. Also, if you're in Española, New Mexico, we'd love to meet you in person here at Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel. We have 3 weekly services that you can attend, Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. You can also stay connected by clicking on the podcast link on our website at tmcalvary.com. Well, we've got so much more to share from God's Word, so stay tuned as Pastor Dion will be back soon here on The Simple Truth. You're the one that we come.
fools for you as you work in us. May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands and together we stand.
Together we stand.